Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second, and the third married her. And so on the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks to the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Perhaps it's my ears, but maybe your ears are experiencing this too. It seems that one of these things is doing something crinkly up there. I'm just going to name it. It seems that that's happening from the nodding of your heads. Yes? Okay. I will simply say, ignore it, I can't turn off the mic, but I notice, and we'll try to figure it out and fix it. Maybe if it's easy, we'll fix it this week. Wouldn't that be great? So I'm just naming that. We can put that aside, you don't need to worry about it, no stress during the sermon, okay? Okay. So grace and peace to you, children of the resurrection, people of the living God. Amen. In these weeks of November, between All Saints Sunday and the beginning of Advent, we hear scripture after scripture about life and death and mystery, about anxious times, about end times. They are, with a few exceptions, hard texts, sometimes hard to hear, often hard to understand. Can I get an amen about that? Amen. That was a tough one. Today we first heard from Doug a splice in the middle of Job's long talk slash case, slash negotiation with God. Job and God are discussing, they're discussing suffering and death and the Redeemer. Today's words are well known, they're beautiful, they're sung often. I know that my Redeemer lives. Read the rest of Job to see how all this plays out. That's important. Next, we heard about the people of Thessalonica, and they're wondering when the day of the Lord is going to come. They are reminded to stand firm and to hold fast. And then comes the gospel. In this section of Luke, folks are engaging Jesus. Really, they're trying to figure him out. Where does his authority come from? How does his theology align or maybe deviate from their theology? Today, the Sadducees, who we are told themselves don't believe in resurrection, they're quizzing Jesus. They're trying to trip him up. They're trying to force a misstep, a conflict with his own tradition. They frame this hypothetical story, a story about a woman who is married to one of seven brothers, and they hearken back to the law of Moses, and they string out this big scenario. The husband dies, and they have no children, so the next brother marries her, and so on, and so on, and so on. Finally, all the brothers have died, no children have come, and the woman dies also. In the resurrection, the Sadducees pose, in the resurrection, whose wife will the woman be? What in the world? This poor woman. Did you hear that? This is crazy. Let's just name the patriarchy in this story. These are men debating who will own a hypothetical woman in the afterlife. Oh my, this is intense. There's ownership, and there's systems of oppression, and there's sexuality, and there's fertility, and there's worth, and there's lineage, and there's legacy, and there's bodies. They're all mixed up in here. And I'd add, there's hope, and there's grief, and there's vulnerability, and shame, and disappointment. This woman and her body are little more than chattel property. It's a rabbit hole. It's a rabbit hole, and the Sadducees are trying their darndest to entice Jesus to go down it. We aren't the first generation to ask big questions. The people of Jesus' time, they pondered them too, for good or for ill. Pulling out this impossible scenario, the Sadducees are subtly, or maybe not so subtly, reminding Jesus of the discrepancies between resurrection and the laws of marriage and kinship. Debbie Thomas reminds us how we do this sometimes too. We point out the discrepancies between resurrection and the laws of biology and physics. It's Carl Jung who says that life is a pause between two great mysteries. Life is a pause between two great mysteries. This story at its deepest confirms the mystery that we live within. Jesus refuses to play into the debate in the way the Sadducees would like. There is more going on than they or than we understand. Their imagination is simply not big enough for Jesus. Rather than playing into the Sadducees' debates, their ploy, instead, Jesus recenters it. He recenters it. They are children of the resurrection, messengers of God, Jesus says, and God is the God of the living. That's what he seems to care about. In these anxious times and all the questions, the instinct is to hold on rigidly, to hold on tightly. Maybe the truth of today's passage is less about holding on tightly and more about being held. About being held. That's what it seems Jesus tells them. Being held in God's love, being held in God's grace, being held in God's tender promises. Our next breath, it could be our last. It could be. Sometimes this becomes all too real, doesn't it? We face this all the time in conversation after conversation. This whole week, our frail human bodies were what I seemed to be talking with people about. Our frail bodies, it's mine as well. And while I knew how frail our bodies are, I was also reminded of how strong these bodies can be, how resilient. We are held in mystery, and death is always before us, and so is life. So live fully, dear ones, live fully, held in God's love. This morning we lift up our partnership with Pastor Amson Hammond and the Ministry of Hospitality at the Dogen Dutze Guest House, and also our partnership with St. Peter's Lutheran Church. The Guest House and the congregation are part of the Lutheran Church of Christ in Nigeria. Both are in Jos, a city of 900,000 in the center of Nigeria. For many years, we have partnered with St. Peter's congregation. It's a congregation like ours with lots of university connections. Their pastor, Neftali Randiviba, has been faithful in sending regular emails and regular prayer requests. And so Bruce Eldovic and I, who receive these, we respond. We add them to our Sunday's prayers, or we follow up with him. We share our prayers and our happenings with Pastor Neftali. So that means that every Sunday when we're praying for them, and that's pretty much every Sunday, isn't it? Every Sunday when we're praying for them, they're praying for us as well. Our joys and our struggles and our congregation, they're held tenderly and they're prayed for by their congregation. I'm humbled, utterly humbled by the bold prayers of the people of St. Peter's. Today, Pastor Naftali asked for prayer for their new church leaders who are beginning soon, for their mission in their city, in Joss, and also for the remote mission stations that share the good news and provide clean water and health care. This weekend, they're having a special revival. It's also a service for them today that they call Harvest and Thanks. I wonder how it's like our gratitude and generosity. I'm not sure, but maybe it is. Please hold all of this in your prayers, for our beloved kin in Nigeria are held strongly in God's love and the love of the living God. Today after worship, you are invited to be part of a program that's led by the Minnesota Council of Churches. It's called Respectful Conversations. Through very structured, intentional conversation, the Council of Churches has created a way to talk about hard issues. Sometimes that's been Muslim-Christian dialogue. Back around the time of the marriage amendment, they made lots of conversation space for gay marriage. Today, for us, our congregation will be having a conversation about racial equity. That's what we're going to be talking about in this respectful conversation. As a group, some of us got together last week to learn how to facilitate this conversation, and we noted in our practicing, because we did it in the practicing, how deliberative and embodied the process was. It made this safe space, if you will, to talk about our hopes and our fears, our experiences, our tensions, the things that can sometimes be so hard. We know that with the holidays approaching, the gatherings with families don't always feel safe, and they don't always feel authentic, and sometimes it's hard to say how you honestly show up. Think of today as a practice ground for listening and for speaking. The world and the church are in such a short supply of this kind of deep listening. I believe this is what the children of the resurrection are called to do. This morning, as I mentioned before, we're going to be gathering and blessing our gratitude and generosity pledges, our stewardship pledges for the coming year. These are commitments for financial giving to support God's ministry that happens through this congregation and so far beyond us, so far beyond University Lutheran Church of Hope. My family has taken the time to pray about and to talk about our giving for the coming year. I know many of you have done the same. Thank you for doing that. If you haven't had a chance, I invite you to take one of those pledge cards home today. Take the time during this week. Make space for doing that. And then if you'd like to bring it back next week, you can do that. And we'll bless more cards next week, because I know that more come in over these next days. Facing tight times financially, we've asked the congregation when it's possible, and it's not always possible, but when it's possible, to increase giving, to increase pledges. Many of you have done that already for 2019, and others are doing that for 2020. Thank you for even considering that. The theme we're using for gratitude and generosity this year is Table Talk. Table Talk 2020. We're thinking about the many tables around which we sit and around which we gather. Think of some of those, right? There are dinner tables, there are coffee shop tables, there are meeting tables, tables at work, learning tables, tables with family and with friends. There's Christ's table, the Holy Communion table, the meal of Holy Communion. Today is Martin Luther's birthday, and it was Martin and his spouse Katie who opened up their family table along with their six kids to also include an aunt and an orphan nephew and students who stayed and boarded at their house, and then this whole assortment of guests who came in and out of their family life, came in and out of their dining table. At the table, they shared plenty of conversation, sometimes the big questions, surely not always agreeing. And some of the conversations were captured over the years, captured by guests, and later compiled into volumes, volumes that, you guessed it, are called Table Talk. Table Talk. What are my prayers today? I pray for a gentle and bold way to come to the table together, especially around hard issues. I pray for this congregation and our leaders and our staff, our vitality, our work in the neighborhood. I pray for the Holy Spirit calling us to new and renewed and creative ministry. And I pray for our neighbors. I pray for the pledges that we'll receive today, for the individuals and households who have prayed over them and have made these kinds of choices. And then I pray for the ways that our individual pledges, our household pledges, affect our entire community, affect our entire ministry, how we come together as a community to be able to do what we are called to do. I pray for each one of you, for the mystery of life and death, for health and for wholeness. And I pray that we can relax our clenched muscles, our gotta get it right instincts, and that we can ease back knowing that we are held tightly in the love of God. That's my prayer, children of the resurrection. That's my prayer. Thanks be to God. Amen.